Rahel Warshaw-Dadon is a Reiki master in Israel. She lives in Jerusalem, where she teaches Reiki as well as practicing it. We had a chance to talk with her recently when she was in the U.S. and came by our studio. First, we wanted to know, what is Reiki?
Reiki is a Japanese word made up of two parts of the word, rei and ki. Ki is the same as the Chinese qi. Many people have heard of tai chi or qigong. Qi means life force energy, and rei ki means universal life force energy.
How do you spell it?
R-E-I-K-I.
I think when a lot of people hear about energy and life force, they think, oh, massage.
Right. With Reiki, one receives a series of what's called Reiki attunements, which permits the person to transfer or funnel the energy through the person's body, through energized hands, either into that person's own self or into somebody else who becomes the client who's receiving the energy.
So you, as a Reiki master, when you're giving someone a treatment, are not actually giving up your own energy?
Not at all. That's a very good point. I'm not giving my energy to the client. I'm allowing myself to be a pipe so that I can funnel energy from other sources, the cosmic source, through myself into someone else. And that's very important for two reasons. One is that I'm not becoming depleted, and the other is that the other person is not getting my personal energy, but getting pure energy.
Now, I know a lot of our listeners, and especially the scientists and physicians who may be listening to you, are saying, what's she talking about?
How would I know?
I went to medical school. They didn't teach us about energy. I can't measure it. I can't see it. I can't even feel it. So how do I know this isn't just some figment of somebody's imagination?
Okay, good point. It might be interesting for you to know that in my former life, I was a molecular geneticist from MIT. Okay, and I've done research in molecular genetics at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. I've studied biophysics. I have a degree in philosophy of science.
So you understand?
Okay, I really understand. I do indeed. Yes, it's a problem. We don't really feel the energy. We feel the effects of the motion of the energy, the expression of the energy. Just as when you're doing particle physics, you don't see the particles, but you see the paths in the bubble chamber of the particles passing through. So the energy, we are all energetic bodies. We're all made of energy. Anyone who understands physics will understand that we are all energy. So if we can tap into a source of energy to get ourselves more of it, then what we have to do is learn how to trust the body, which is extremely wise, much wiser than most of us fancy scientists, to be able to use the energy in a way that will allow us to heal ourselves.
Some people who would be skeptical based on the theory of transferring energy would be interested if they saw results. So tell us, what sorts of conditions do you use Reiki to help?
Okay, that's a good question. And what's important to focus on is that we do not treat conditions. We treat people who happen to have conditions. So when people say, I have a trick knee, can you fix it? I say, I don't know. I can treat you and maybe you will help yourself and fix it. And very often, the thing that gets fixed or the things that get healed depends much more on the person's who's being treated than on the desire of the practitioner or the person's spouse or something, come and fix my husband's trick shoulder, won't necessarily work. Because it's the subconscious of the person being treated who will direct the energy to the right place. I can give a couple of good examples if you'd like.
Please.
Well,
yeah.
Before you give examples,
yeah,
you say you're a molecular geneticist,
yes,
at MIT.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get interested in this? I mean, this is not something that they taught at MIT.
No, it's not. It is definitely not. I suffered from very serious asthma from about age 7. When I came to Israel, it became worse because although there was a lot of awareness about how secondhand smoke can be dangerous in the United States, it was not commonly understood in Israel when I arrived there in 1979. And I became progressively sicker and sicker. It got to the point where my family physician who was treating me was extremely concerned because he was giving me massive dosages of several different kinds of medication, including steroids. And he said, if I increase the dose of this medication, you're likely to die of a heart attack. If I don't increase it, you're likely to die of lack of oxygen because you won't be able to breathe. That puts me in a very hard place. I suggest you go out and find an alternative. In those years, which was nearly 20 years ago, Reiki was not known in Israel. So I went out and looked for everything that was known in Israel, which included reflexology and acupuncture and healing and lots of different modalities, and homeopathy, for example, Chinese herbs. I tried everything and nothing helped me. Sort of accidentally, I found a Reiki practitioner who introduced me to this. And it took me 4 years after I found him to find a Reiki teacher who would be able to teach me Reiki. And from the moment that I had my first experience with Reiki, I knew that it was going to solve the problem. And in fact, it took me 10 months of treatments to get myself to stop taking medication. I've taken no medication at all since August 1996. That's 10 years. Okay? Not an aspirin, not an anything. For 10 years, which is an enormous change in my lifestyle because I used to be dependent on everything. And all of my allergies have disappeared. I used to be allergic to everything. I mean, everything. And now I can go to bed with two cats and a dog on the bed and nothing happens. It's a real change in my life.
You're listening to The People's Pharmacy with Terry and Joe Graydon.
We're talking with Rahel Warsha Dadon. She is a Reiki master from Israel. She lives in Jerusalem and teaches Reiki, which she has taught since October of 2000.
Now, you have an experience with your mother-in-law?
Yes.
Who was having some problems with her knees. Would you
Yes.
share that story with us?
I would be happy to, yes. My mother-in-law had serious osteoarthritis that was getting progressively worse and worse. And when I learned Reiki, I had already actually been divorced from her son for 6 years and not in touch with her. But my son, who was 13 years old, was certainly in touch with her and with me. And when he saw what was happening in the house as I was treating myself and other people, he said, "You have to help my grandmother." And he was such a nudge that I finally broke down and agreed. And he said, "You're looking for people to practice on. She needs help. What do you care if you were divorced from Abba? You know, help her." So I agreed, and I called her, and I said, "I have this weird thing in my hands. I'm willing to try. I don't know if it will work. And my conditions are that you come to me every day and that you get permission from the surgeon to delay your knee replacement surgery for 3 months." That was a Thursday afternoon. For us, the Sabbath is Friday and Saturday. And on Sunday morning, she was already at the hospital talking with her surgeon. By noon, she was at my house. Her surgeon had said, "This is a very serious and not very safe surgery. And if it doesn't work, you will be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life because without knees, you can't stand up. So if you have an alternative, go for it and come back in 3 months if it doesn't work." So she came and we started with treatments, and they were very intense, very, very intense treatments. She came to me every day for 2 weeks, at the end of which she said, "This is ridiculous. I can't travel so much. I'll learn Reiki. I'll treat myself." I arranged for a course for her. So she said, "Okay, every morning and every evening I'll give myself a full Reiki treatment. I'll do it double. Maybe it'll work better." She did that every day for 3 months, at the end of which time we met at a large course at which there were many returning students, including myself and my son and my mother-in-law. And during the break, my son turned to me and said, "Ima, look at Safta, Grandma." And he said, "Look at her." And I said, "Well, I see her. What do you want me to see?" And he said, "Ima, you must be blind. I don't get it." So I said, "Maybe you'll tell me what I'm supposed to see." And he said, "I've known Safta every day of my life. I know her as a little old lady who walks with a cane, bent over with a grimace on her face, who says, 'Oi,' every time she walks because it hurts so much. But look at Safta. She's walking, standing straight, not carrying a cane, and she's laughing all the time. I have a new Safta." That was 10 years ago. She is still walking without a cane.
And no knee replacement.
No knee replacement.
The thing that people are wondering as they're listening to you tell this story, what is she talking about? What does it look like? What does it feel like? How do you do this thing?
Good question. Reiki treatment is extremely simple. Once one has undergone the process of receiving the Reiki attunements, if you just put your hands on and allow the energy to flow, the person receiving the energy will get it and move the energy to where it needs to go. Anyone can do it. Anyone. Usually one is fully clothed. You might take off your shoes. You might take off a belt and heavy jewelry. But other than that, you're clothed. You can lie in a nice quiet place and put a sheet over so you'll be comfortable. You can close your eyes and you just get that energy. A full treatment takes something between an hour and 2 hours. And if there's a disadvantage, sometimes disadvantages are advantages in the long run. But if there's a disadvantage, and in our modern world, we think about everything quick. We have to do things fast. Reiki is not magic. You don't put your hands on once and then everything's all finished. You have to have a series of treatments and allow the body to heal itself. And very often, the body knows what needs to be healed more than our conscious minds do. So, for example, I learned Reiki in order to be able to breathe and stop taking medication for asthma. What I didn't realize then was that I was seriously depressed and perhaps even suicidal. And it took me a long, long time to stop taking drugs in order to help my breathing. 10 months seems like a long time. But what happened was that I progressively became happier. I was no longer a depressed person. So that apparently it was more important to save my life and so that I wouldn't be suicidal. And only after that I became able to breathe without the medication.
You're listening to Rahel Warshaw-Dadon. She is a Reiki master. She lives in Jerusalem, and she teaches Reiki there, where she has taught it since October of 2000.
Rahel, you have been talking about Reiki as a healing modality.
Yes.
But you've moved even beyond that. You come from Israel, where there has been tremendous angst and anguish.
Yes.
There has been violence, bloodshed, a lot of
hatred.
And you have founded something called Reiki for Peace.
Yes.
Tell us what that's about.
Okay. In about, I think it was February 2000, I had a conversation with a young man from Qalqilia in the West Bank, which is the occupied territories. And it was a very surprising conversation because he approached me and he said, "I'm a Palestinian. I'd like to talk to you about peace. Would you agree to talk to me?" And I was so surprised because usually I got death threats and I said, "Please don't go away. Let's talk." I chatted with him over typing over the internet for a while. And after that, he said to me one day, "Every time I talk to you, I feel different. You do something to me. I don't know what you're doing, but I feel different when I chat with you." And we still had not spoken on the phone. I was imagining that maybe what had happened is that his need was so great that I was unconsciously sending Reiki to him at more advanced levels than the first degree. One can actually do Reiki treatments from a distance. It doesn't require hands-on. So I actually have clients in Australia and in London that I can send those treatments. And so I imagined that something was happening unconsciously and he was getting this energy from me, and that's what he was responding to. So he said, "Because I feel that you're different and you have this ability, I want your help." And I was surprised, and my immediate response was, "Well, maybe he wants a check, or he wants blue jeans from America, or I don't know what he wants." And I was willing to do anything he asked to do, even without thinking, "Can he use my Israeli check? Maybe he couldn't cash it. I didn't know." But then he said something extremely surprising. He said, "I want you to teach me how to teach my villagers to live in peace with Israelis." And I was so startled, I nearly fell off my chair. Fortunately, I didn't respond immediately, because when I got myself centered again, I realized that the answer was, "I'm a Reiki master. That must be my job. Let's figure out how to do it." Through my conversations with him, I realized that that's what I needed to do. And it turned out, to my enormous surprise, that nobody else had done it. It seemed to me that Reiki for Peace would be the most obvious thing, but nobody had done it. And there's no organization in the world called Reiki for Peace except us. We have a website that nobody had the name for it. ReikiForPeace.org is ours, and nobody had claimed it previously. And why do I think Reiki for Peace would work? Because I believe that happy people cannot kill anyone else. If you really have a happy person, it is impossible to give that person a weapon and say, kill. It just will not happen. So I believe that one of the end products of working with Reiki is becoming happier. You yourself figured that out even without my saying it. So if I can give people the possibility of becoming happy, and if I can give them the possibility of exchanging treatment so that they know that this person whom previously they would think is the enemy can put his hands on and actually make them feel better, this is no longer an enemy. Magic absolutely happens in my living room. It's extraordinary to watch. People who, when they first come in, they look at each other and they say, do I want that person to touch me? They end up embracing each other and wanting to stay in touch and being friends and offering to exchange treatments. It's really quite remarkable.
And you're talking about Israelis and Palestinians.
Yes, 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 I am. I work with two groups of Palestinians. One is the group from the occupied territories, and they are hard to get to because in order for them to come to me, I need to get army permission. So I need to negotiate with the army to get them entry permits, and then we have to just hope that there will continue to be correspondence and communication between the outside and the inside of Israel, because sometimes they get permits and then they close the borders, so they can't get by even with the permits. And that's very frustrating. When they finally come, then I make sure that I have Israeli Jews in the class when they come so that they can work together. Just briefly, the other group is Arab Israeli Palestinians who live within the Green Line and have Israeli ID cards. Recently, we have more and more of those in our group, and that's becoming a real source of joy for us, and so that they can work with Israeli Jews. And there's an awful lot of animosity, even within Israel, that requires a lot of healing.
So anyone who wants to learn more about your organization can go to the website, reikiforpeace.org.
And yes. Would you spell that again?
Yes. www.reikiforpeace, all is one word, .org.
Rahel Warsha Dadon, thank you so much for talking with us on The People's Pharmacy today. Rahel is a Reiki master from Israel. She lives in Jerusalem and teaches Reiki there. She founded the Israeli nonprofit, nonpolitical organization called Reiki for Peace.
Thank you.
We'll be right back after this break with a house call from the People's Pharmacy pediatrician and more of your calls at 888-472-3366.
You're listening to The People's Pharmacy with Joe and Terry Graydon.